Okay, now we're back for the second installment audio-wise, and in this case we're going to look at the first two charts that follow. One of them is an old gold chart. We're showing the big gold T. This one was is no longer available, I believe. It's the second fixing in London. It goes by the odd name of 38099902. And it used to be available on big charts, but they were taken over, I think, by Wall Street Journal or Dow Jones. And so I have to make up my own chart on this one. But it clearly shows the example of what we're going to talk about is a 40-year cycle. And then in the second chart is just a table showing the 10-year relative rates of return. And we'll talk about that in a while. So but just that's what we're going to talk about. But you can just sit back and re-listen to the to my commentary here. One of the things that I have to do in this time period as we're going into a bear market is to get my tutorials all organized, and so I'm trying to think of a way to talk about T-theory and the other things that I've discovered over my nearly 40-year career, and come at it with a way that I can state it which is a is helpful to people. And If you get the technical side of the introduction, which you would never want to do, is you'd explain you would, which very often happens to people who come to the site, is they want to know about the short-term range oscillator, and how do you calculate it and stuff like that. Well, that's not going to make you rich, because based on the Hertz cycle concept, it's called the amplitude duration cycle relationship. Short-term moves don't make you money, and I would contend that a better way to start to that is to come at things from a more comprehensible and I thought was a rather surprising simple statement that you make money on finding a 40-year cycle and riding its up phase, and only that will get you into a position where you make a lot of money. It's necessary that you find it. It's not sufficient, because there are other things that have to take place, but it is the essential category. And then with respect to 40-year cycle, of course, is for a very long period of time, and you know, a lot of things are going on in that time period that you have to take other details and so on. But it is necessary that you find a 40-year cycle. I do not believe that the Kondratiev cycle, which is taken to be like 54 years, or Martin Armstrong's 8.6-year cycle are dominant. I believe the discovery they made that it's a 40-year cycle is clear. And we offer that up. It shows right up in the gold tee, 20 years down, 20 years up. And you're halfway in the upside phase in here. And, you know, it's going to come out to be 40 years when it's all over. And you don't have to wait on this one, because you can go back and look at the oscillators and clearly see the 40-year cycle pattern. The second part, so the first part is that you have to find that all profits come from correctly interpreting and finding the 40-year cycle, which is the large cycle, which has the large amplitude, and you can see it in the gold. The gold is going crazy on the upside, and that's because you're going into a high amplitude phase that would naturally come from the fact that the 20 years up cycle is going to be huge. Okay, it's probably not going to go up to 2,500 or 3,000 before it's all over. Then the second corollary to that is all of the small T's, which are, or small cycles, whatever you do, our primary purpose in making money is controlling risk. Most people think that the short-term T's is where you're going to make money, and the 40-year cycle is just something that's out there for fuddy-duddies, old-fashioned people, you know, that don't think very fast. But I contend that the profitability, the latent potential profits, are hidden in the 40 right side of a big T, or what we call it, the 40-year cycle. And the primary virtue of the smaller T's, which would be anything shorter than either small advanced decline T or a shorter anything that's less than like 18 months, is primarily there to control risk. And after 40 years, I'd say that that's probably how you start out doing the tutorials. And you say you divide it into, you got two jobs. Job one is to find the 40-year cycle to get where you, where you know, where's the profits going to come up. And then you look at the other T's and you say, if it says it's a high-risk zone, you don't want to go near it, okay? Or if you see a long cash buildup phase, you want to get involved in it. And that is controlling risk-reward ratio, okay? But most people think that that's what they're going to make a lifestyle thing on it. You get older, you remember the big picture is tells you where to go, and the short term tells you how to execute things. And T's, by their peculiarity, tend to warn you of tops, so that it's a big risk reducer. So anyway, that's the way I'm going to start it out, and that program is got its little problems in it now. But I've loaded all of the Robert Shuler data in it, which gives me long-term interest rates, gives me consumer price index, gives me the 10-year price earnings ratio, and you can do lots of tricks with it. And it starts from 1871. It doesn't cover the 1840 type depression that came by, because there's the data prior to 1871 is a little nebulous, and presumably Shiller didn't pick it up. He couldn't get price earnings. You know, the country was different back then. Not sure how to define price earnings ratios in that kind of a pre, you know, in the 1850s. So anyway, another in controlling risk is that I have noticed that in the if you look at the big gold T, I see surprise decline, 50% retracement. Which I thought was a real odd one, because we were going into a crisis. I think a reasonable person would have considered that in 08 you were going into some kind of a crisis, and it might have said, well, you know, if you're going to a crisis, gold, it's in a bull market. Why don't you just buy gold? Well, the gold just went down, and that is a characteristic, I believe, of all 40-year cycles in the rapid up growth phase, which could be in the order of 20 years, someplace in the middle of that rally phase is a gigantic correction, and I believe it's only one, and that correction was the last one that they had, because nobody will now see a crisis and say that they sell the gold, because they did it the last time and it turned out that was wrong, and gold did very nicely going up to the bottom, so it's up to 1200 now. Okay, so that is my other tentative view, because I haven't seen enough 40-year cycles to say that's true yet. But if you look at the mega T's, where you're coming out of the 40s and you're going up to 68, you'll find out it has one bad stretch, which was the 1962 panic. If you look at the coming out of the 82 to the 2000 year, which is roughly again 20 years, it's the 87 crash, which was actually quite disturbing to people. And if you look at the gold, you have this kind of stuff in here, and I think that you can only do it one time, because there's a cycle concept that I wrote in 73 about long-range T's, and it turns out that if you have the center post, if you look at the gold T and you say, well, you come out of this low, and then there's a cycle that rises up and it peaks at the end of the T, the only other cycle that you can have is the third harmonic of it, and what it does is it rises up, then it pulls back down, and then it rises back up to the end of the T, and it's a triple frequency, triple in frequency, and that is the next dominant cycle, and it has one. Ideally, it would cause the breakdown to occur 2/3 of the way through the right side of the T, and I documented that back in the 60s and so forth. That says that there has to be. If there is going to be a correction, the biggest correction you will have will only occur one time. So sometimes we talk about that with people, about, you know, do you think you could do that again? The answer is probably not. Nevertheless, there is a risk associated with this, because in the table, if you look in the table, you'll notice that, let me go to talk about the table. For instance, relative to the 10-year rate of return, the 10 years turns out to be a very interesting number. It shows up in Shiller's work. Why is he taking the 10-year earnings? Well, Shiller redefines the picture because he has to make some adjustments for consumer prices and indexes, but he did move out, and then after he makes those adjustments, he was looking at the 10-year earnings as an average because he thinks that the market will adjust its price-earnings ratio to a longer-term trend, and he picks 10 years. Okay, I just happen to have this table done for 10 years, and it covers 2000 to 2009 inclusive, so it's 10 years. But it turns out that the 40-year cycle is so fundamental that it is convenient to go through phases of one quarter of the total 40 years, which is 10 years. You can see that if you ask, somebody will ask, well, why do you live in New England with all that horrible weather that you get? And the person trying to defend their position will say, it's because I see the four seasons. In the temperate climate, you always get the summer, spring, winter, fall, which is kind of nice, as opposed to you live in a desert region, it's pretty much the same all the time. It gets a little hotter, a little cold, but the vegetation doesn't come and go and so on. And so you have these variations. And if you look at the ancients all divided up the year into four parts, longest day, shortest day, and then the equal amounts of daylight and night time. And it's very common that when you are trying to track a cycle that has the full richness of the seasons, it will always be one, you'll always want to divide it into quarters. And so when you think of the 40-year cycle, it is going to become natural, at least in my own mind, that you'll always talk in decades that are synchronized to the cycle, not necessarily to the decades on a chart or something like that, but wherever you started the cycle. And that 10-year relative trend is the longest moving average that will smooth out the fluctuations but still reveal the four seasons. And that's why he used 10 years, and I believe that's why Shiller ends up, he probably did a lot of studies, but it's logically that you will end up looking at the one quarter of the cycle in order to try to make some sense out of the flow into the four phases, because there are always going to be four phases in a cycle. So having said that, I'll skip out the Fidelity Capital and Income. It's just to say that the annual 10-year average return is 9.9%. That's just people chasing yield, and the reason they're chasing yield is because they can't get anything on the S&P total return number. Okay, so if you look at the and then forget about the intermediate government and the Vanguard short-term treasuries, that what they are is they're just if you want to make a high rate of return, you go to the long-term bonds because they're more volatile. If you don't like the volatility, you can go back to intermediate, which is 8-10 year bonds, or you can go to short-term treasuries, which are a couple years. But you always get lower rates of return, so you have to put up with the volatility if you want to have it. So just concentrate on the treasuries. It's 7, and call that 7%. The SPR gold is 14%, call it 14%. And then you can take Tocqueville gold, and that is 29, call it 28%. Okay. So what you have is a binary relationship. You go from treasuries is 7 to gold bars at 14 to gold equity stocks, and you double it again to 28 years. See? And those numbers are all high. The gold numbers are all higher. And the reason the gold numbers are higher is because you're in the phase of a 40-year cycle, which happens to be in gold. So if somebody says, I think, this stuff about the stock market is pretty interesting, but they don't bother with the gold, it's not a rational state because you can prove that the gold is where the money is. Okay? And when we get into the other charts, we'll talk about that as well. But it goes back to what happens is there's the old joke about the guy that's underneath the lamplight at night, down in the gutter looking around for something, and somebody comes up and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, I lost something and I'm looking for it. And he says, and the passerby says, "Well, where did you lose it?" He says, back in the dark alley over there. And he says, "Well, why aren't you going back into the dark alley to look for it then?" He says, "Because the light's better out here." Well, that's what happens to people when they get somebody gives them a computer or they read a book on the stock market, and it's all about equities. And so they got all these tools, and you get programs that they really cover the equity market in tremendous detail. And so they think that if they got all these powerful tools, that the profits are going to be in the equity market because everybody wrote the program on it. But that's not true. The truth of the prophets are hidden in the one that's in the 40-year cycle, which nobody sees and nobody is paying attention to. So the moral of the story is you're going to have to learn what the gold is. Not hard to do it, because in the next chart I'll just show you here, it's pretty simple to do it. But that establishes, I just want to establish the fact that if you're talking about a 40-year cycle, you'd be able to find it. Another example of the 40-year cycle is if you go back to the equity markets and you take the 82 to 2000, that's 18 years, or you can go from 74 to 2000 if you want to kind of take that part of the bottom zones, and you look at, you know, how did you want to get rich? Well, you had to recognize that you were in a major move, and then you got smart and bet that Microsoft was going to be big, and so you just jumped on the Microsoft bandwagon, and you just reinvesting, you would have been rich, because all the Microsoft people got rich. It was an easy case. Now you look at from 2000 on, what happens with Microsoft? There's nothing there. Okay, so it's all disappointing, and that's because they overstayed the 40-year cycle. So if you find the 40-year cycle, that's good. But if you find the 40-year cycle and it's all over, just because on momentum pressures, you'll find out it's just life is a disaster. If you look at the 40-year cycle in terms of careers, when the 40-year cycle turned in 82, Joe Granville, who was the greatest forecaster up to that point, completely self-destructed. So there was no rally, and you entered the biggest rally of the month. Never saw it coming. Okay, so all those people get wiped out and bottoms up. So the 40-year cycle is capable of delivering to you huge profits if you recognize it, but if it, you know, they all die someday, and when they die, they'll just self-destruct on you, and they turn against you. So one of the things that you want to get involved in is recognizing that you can get lucky if you just follow the 40-year cycle. And if it takes you into a zone that's unfamiliar, you don't want to stay with the familiar one, because that cycle. But what you really do is you track the 40-year cycle. And you do it the best way you can, and you say, is it in the up phase or is it in the down phase? And if it's in the down phase, it's poison. You don't want to go near it. So everybody is talking about the stock market right now and all this little ramifications, that they're dealing with poison. Sooner or later, they'll get caught. Going back to Charles Nenner, one of the things that it's interesting, which is one of his claims that was interesting, which I don't really believe, is that the cycles can project conflicts. And the conflicts are basically wars. And there's an interesting relative to the gold cycle. Robert McNamara, in his when he was 85, was really at the end of his career, did an interesting documentary on the fog, whose title was "The Fog of War," in which he taught the 10 lessons that he'd learned in life. And the first lesson that he had was that in all wars, mistakes are made. People are killed innocently. You read about it in the Afghan War or the Iraqi War, where they bomb innocent people. The wars they went for weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. I mean, all kinds of errors, and you get a lot of people get killed on that one. But his point was that in the nuclear, once you get the nuclear weapons start floating around, he says that what turns out to be a little messy war turns out to be something gigantic. Well, anyway, Nenner's forecasting, incidentally, all long-term forecasters have picked up on the 40-year cycle in the archives, that the low in the going into 2013 or 2016. It's basically the two ways you count the 40-year cycle ending, and there's an ambiguity in it, and I would assume that they're probably both there, but everybody else has it, you know. I didn't copy it from them. I just did a calculation, and you can read the article in the archives on it. But in any case, Nenner, I understand he was complaining that the conflict would be in the 2013 area. So you have this interesting opportunity for, you know, depending on whether you believe McNamara or you want to believe the idea is that something bad could happen, which would have a mushroom cloud effect, you know, end up in a mushroom cloud. That I don't think that the, that that the cycle is true. What I do believe, though, is that if you go into these lows and something bad is going on in the economy, the bad economy will trigger somebody, some politician will start a war in order to cover up the fact that they can't run the world right, and that can trigger something. And so it could be right for it's not the cycle that's causing the problem. It's the cycle that's causing the economic distress, and then the economic distress causes the war to start, because the history is just contained with bad things happening at the end of declines and bad things happening to promote politicians to start wars. Any case, the other comment that I wanted to make, which I thought was interesting about the 40-year cycle, is the title for McNamara's thing was called Fog of War. When people come to the stock market, they think that it's they don't know anything about it. Sometimes they see it like a chess game where you have two people, you know, opposite, the bulls on one side of the board and the bears on the other side of the board, and they say, okay, so I'm over on this side of the board, and I see what the layout of, I see what I got, I see what the other guy's got, and so we're all you know, studying the things, and if I buy a big enough computer, I can find out what the moves are going to be, and if my computer is better than theirs, then I will get, if my technology is better than their technology, then I will win. The fog of war comes out of an old term that says that the chessboard game is flawed. What you do, what you see is, you can see your pieces on the blackboard, but as you go over to the opposition, it fades into a fog, because they won't tell you it's all hidden back there. The major pieces are all hidden in a fog, because they arrange it that way, because they're not stupid. Okay, so what happens is you have an incomplete view of the problem, and people, when they start out, they don't realize what he learned after his long life is that you can't see the whole problem. That's the problem. Okay, so you never can really see this stuff, and that's why you have to have the short range tees to correct your errors, and that they're the only ones that can keep you in the out of the fog, because the big T is always in the fog. You can't see it. You can logically deduce there's a big T in the gold here. Okay, but you can't see it because it's in a fog. It's the part that hasn't happened yet. But you have to have a smaller set of T's that can keep you, which can see close enough to that it's not in the fog, and therefore you can find out whether you're doing something wrong, which is the same as saying you cut down the risk. Okay, so I think just take those little things and think about them, and then we'll go back, and then we'll get into the other charts that which are more of the where you take the MACD and you start doing the prototyping for the charts which you got to come out of this program once we figure out how to load the data in correctly. Be back in a second.